say that here go some things that'll make you want to holler and throw up both your hands. Our schools have become arenas of deadly violence. Make you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our prison population is increasing exponentially from 500,000 in 1980 to over 2.5 million today. Over 1.5 million women are reported victims of domestic violence each year. And there are estimated untold numbers that are never reported. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. We are currently averaging over 3 million child abuse cases every year involving 6 million children. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today as we continue to look at Psalm 11, a message titled Godly Influence. Before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I've written, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And in this book, we answer your questions about heaven straight from the Bible. So get your copy of Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now join us for the first half of Psalm 11, Godly Influence.
And as I was thinking about the situation in last week and was reflecting on Psalm 11, my mind went back to a song from the 70s. And so, you know, you know that it's in my blood, you know, and so, you know, I thought about what Marvin Gaye said. And you know, the thing about it is that Marvin Gaye was singing about the very situations that we're dealing with. He was singing about them. You know, he said in his song, he said, crime is increasing, trigger happy policing, panic is spreading, God knows where we're heading. Makes me want to holler and throw up both my hands. I mean, that's where we are today. I don't know about you, but when I heard about two black men that had been killed this past week, it just made me want to holler and throw up both my hands. When I heard about the policemen in Dallas that were shot, it just made me want to holler and throw up both my hands. And as we look at the psalm today, we're going to see that the psalmist faced a similar situation where he could have just threw up his hands. He could have just fled from the situation, but instead, he became rooted and grounded in God and who God is. And during times like these, it would be very easy for us to just throw up our hands and holler. It would be very easy for us to just become uninvolved and to lock ourselves away. But I think that there's a valuable lesson that we can learn in Psalm 11 today. And so as we look at this 11th psalm, we want to title the message today, Make Me Want to Holler and Throw Up Both My Hands. Before we get into the 11th psalm, I want to help us to understand some things. When we had our Anchored in Jesus boat ride, I did a teaching on the signs of the time. And those of you who were there, remember that I quoted Jesus when he said in the last days how that that the birth pains would increase. And we talked about how that when a lady is having birth pains, that two things happen. First of all, the pains become more frequent, and secondly, they become more intense. And so Jesus said, as we head toward these last days, that things would become more frequent and more intense. So I'm standing here this morning to tell you, brothers and sisters, and I'm being as honest as I can, is that I really don't think it's going to get any better. So we need to, as God's people, learn how to deal from a biblical perspective with these things. Now, on the back of your handout this morning, I printed a scripture because I wanted to show you what I'm talking about before we get into this 11th Psalm. But in Luke 21, verses 5 through 9, Jesus was coming out of the temple, and he saw that that some things had happened, and his disciples, his disciples asked him about the last days, and said, you know, Lord, how can we know that it's the last days? When are we going to know that it's the last days? And so in Luke 21, verses 5 through 9, and some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with godly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall be thrown down. And then the disciples, they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name. So we already know that that's happening. Saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear, now this is Jesus talking, wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So he's saying that these are things that are indicating that we're coming to the end. So those birth pains, they become more frequent and more intense. Now notice the word commotions, and this is what I wanted to point out. The word commotions comes from the Greek word akatstasia. And notice how it's translated. Violent disorder, disorderly insurrection, civil unrest, and riot. That's how that word, when Jesus said, know that the end is coming, know that the end is upon us. He said, when you see commotions, and what are the commotions? The violent disorder, the disorderly insurrection, the civil unrest, and the riot. And you know, in a time when, you know, this country is as old as we are, at a time when we should all be moving ahead and getting along, we still have our problems. There's still a lot of problems in this country. And as a result of these problems, there's a lot of unrest. And that's when you look at this whole movement of Black Lives Matter. What did it arise out of? It arrives out of unrest. You know, people are not satisfied. They think things should be different. And so we have the idea of Black Lives Matter. And so when you begin to talk about Black Lives Matter, then you get people on TV to say, well, Blue Lives Matter. And then you get somebody on there to say, well, All Lives Matter. And so it just seems to complicate things. And I began to think about how even the situation with the two men being killed, and how that all the country was going to focus on that. And then you have officers shot in Dallas, Texas. And now all the energy that was going to be focused on that is now shifted to Dallas. And so Jesus said, why are we surprised? Why are we taken aback when we see these things? Because in the last days, there will be commotions. There will be unrest. There will be civil uneasiness. And it's up to us as the children of God to make sense out of all this. Because if you don't, it'll just make you want to holler and throw up both your hands. And we sang the song this morning, Total Praise. I lift my hands. You know, we lifted our hands and praised to God. But when Marvin Gaye talked about, you know, make me want to holler, throw both my hands, he wasn't talking about praising God. He was talking about out of frustration. He was talking about out of anguish. He was talking about out of a vexation of spirit. And I feel that's where we are as a country today, that we're in a place where people are being vexed in their spirit. And if God's people don't somewhere make sense out of it all, then nobody else is going to make sense out of it. You can't trust the politicians. You got one person running for president saying that you can't trust the other person, and you got another person running for president calling the other person crooked. So, I mean, who can you trust? And the psalmist dealt with the same thing. And so we're going to look at it this morning in Psalm 11. As we look into the psalm, the background is the exact setting for this psalm is unknown. The occasion of the psalm is when David's advisors counseled him to run from those who were trying to harm him. Instead of running, David resolved to exercise faith in the Lord and to not fear man. Now, when we look at one of the key verses here is verse 3. And notice what verse 3 says. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, in your notes, we put the meaning of the word foundations. Now, I took this from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, a commentary out of Dallas Theological Seminary, and commenting on Psalm 11 and verse 3, the commentator said the word foundations comes from the Hebrew word shat, and it refers to law and order in society based on God's rule. Law and order in society based on God's rule. So we can even take God's rule out and just say it's the foundations are based on law and order. And the foundations are being destroyed. Not only are we not coming close to what God wants, but even when you look at the everyday meaning of law and order, that we are missing out and coming up short even as far as that's concerned. When you think about the foundations being destroyed, let me point your attention to a couple areas. The first one is government. And we see in government, there just is a overall lack of integrity. The foundations are being destroyed. When you look at this country and you realize that, and regardless of how we think about the founding fathers, the fact of the matter is that it was founded upon Christian principles. It was founded upon biblical values. And we have moved so far away from that, and so we have to identify the fact that the foundations have been destroyed. Foundations have been destroyed. When we consider the whole idea that we are redefining marriage, the foundations have been destroyed. When we look at police killing citizens and citizens killing police, it's almost like going back to the Wild Wild West. The foundations have been destroyed. When we look at terrorist attacks all around the world, the foundations have been destroyed. When we look at the home and we see that there has been a fundamental breakdown in the home, the foundations have been destroyed. You know, one indication to me that the foundations have been destroyed. I know when I was growing up, and my brother, he's sitting right here on the front row, so I know he'll agree with me, is that, you know, we had adults in our neighborhood that some of them, I'm just going to be honest, were crazy. I ain't going to lie to you. Some of them were crazy, And we had other adults that, you know, all they wanted to do, you know, was gossip and get people into trouble. So, I mean, and I'm sure you had the same in your neighborhood. But, you know, there was a fundamental thing in our neighborhood that our parents taught us and that was ingrained in the neighborhood, and that is that you respect adults. You respect adults. You might not agree with them. They might be out there, and they might be, I'm trying to. But you respected them. And today, I'll say this, that there is generally a fundamental disrespect coming from the youth to adults. I mean, and the attitude is, and I can see the point, the attitude is, well, you know, if they respect me, then I'm going to respect them. And you know what? I mean, I can see somewhat of what young people are saying when they say that. But regardless, if they respect you, that, you know, you look at healthy cultures around the world, and healthy cultures around the world are ones that have a healthy respect for the elderly, and they revere the elderly. And so when we see that there's a lack of respect, that shows a fundamental breakdown in our society. You know, and even when you look at the Bible, you know, and the Bible talks about honoring father and mother, respecting father and mother. And so, you know, the whole idea of the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on even people with gray hair. And they said that, you know, that the youth should come to the gray hair or the no hair. You know, for wisdom. And so we're seeing a fundamental breakdown in our society. I was doing some research. And let me just say that here go some things that'll make you want to holler and throw up both your hands. Our schools have become arenas of deadly violence. Make you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our prison population is increasing exponentially from 500,000 in 1980 to over 2.5 million today. Over 1.5 million women are reported victims of domestic violence each year. And there are estimated untold numbers that are never reported. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. We are currently averaging over 3 million child abuse cases every year involving 6 million children. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. We are experiencing more than 12 million crimes every year. This is more than any other nation in the world. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Teen violence has increased unbelievably, with youngsters killing each other over a pair of tennis shoes. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our society has become deeply divided, splintered among competing groups defined by racial, religious, and economic factors. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our politicians have become more concerned about power than service. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. Our freedom of speech is being threatened by hate crime legislation, where now preachers can't even stand in the pulpit and preach the word of God without running the risk of being arrested and going to jail. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. We are experiencing one major natural disaster after another in unprecedented volume and ferocity. Makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. And that's in the world. Let's come to the church. In the church, we have 37% of those who call themselves evangelical Christians who don't believe the Bible is accurate. makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. We have 45% of evangelical Christians who do not believe that Jesus was sinless. Make you want to holler. 45%. Throw up both your hands. And I wouldn't believe it, except I talked to some of these same people. We have 52% of evangelical Christians who don't believe Satan is real. And we know where that came from. Make you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. 57, this staggers the imagination right here. 57% of evangelical Christians, people who say that they are Christian, do not believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. 57% makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. There's people that believe there are other ways to Christ. I mean, to God, to salvation. And when you think about that, God said there's only one way. And that unless you come through Jesus Christ, you can't get in. So if the church has lost the fundamental structure, the foundational structures, that just goes to show you that we're in trouble. And so that's why I'm appealing to God's people today, that we would hold fast to the foundations. And so we begin to look at this 11th Psalm. And as we look at the 11th Psalm, we see that there are two things that I want to say, and I'm going to be done. The first one is the recommendation of the fearful, and then the second thing is the response of the faithful. The recommendation of the fearful. When you see all this stuff going on, that the fearful recommend that you flee to the mountain, that you become uninvolved, that you disengage, that you don't get active, that you don't get busy. That David, here he was being persecuted on many fronts. We know Saul was after him. We know that the people, he killed Goliath, and those individuals had an eye out on him. And so David had many enemies, and his friends began to advise David, and they said, David, with all that's going on, why don't you just flee to the mountains? Look at verses 1 and 2. David said, in the Lord I put my trust. I'm trusting in the Lord. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Look at, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they might privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now notice that before David acknowledged what his faint-hearted compadres were saying, the first thing that he says is that I put my trust in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, no matter what's going on in the world, all right, shooting in Baton Rouge, shooting in St. Paul, shooting in Dallas, no matter what's going on, don't let that shake your faith in God. You keep putting your trust in God. And notice that the idea, let's look at the notes. Look at the notes. David opens up this psalm by stating his confidence in God in response to the advice of the faint-hearted. He says, in the Lord put I my trust. This word trust can also be translated refuge. It is used twice in the Old Testament with the idea.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion coming from Psalm 11, Godly Influence. If you would like to request a copy of today's message, Godly Influence, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. And it's also there where you can request a copy of the book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. My brothers and sisters, the reason that we are on the air is because of you. And so I would like to thank all of you who give to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, and want to let you know that if you want to make a financial contribution to this ministry, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us, or you can send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.